Blog Talk Radio.
Morning. What's going on? It's nice when people show up to work. You know what I'm saying? How's everybody doing? What's the word? It is the 24th of June. Man, I'm telling you, time does not stick around for anyone. Sister Rashi is not with us this week. I apologize for you all listening, waiting to hear her wonderful voice, but she is not with us this week. She needed some time to do what she needed to do, and we are in full support of her. However, Brother Barry is here with us. I'm sure Rodney will join us soon. And we're going to do what we do. Hey, Brother Barry, what's going on, man?
What's going on, brother? How you doing this morning?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Just chilling.
How's the weather out there
in South
Carolina?
I just put myself on mute. I'm sorry. I said I'm good. That's what's going on. Hey, man, we had a very good discussion going on last week about fatherhood and the like, and I wanted to continue a portion of that this week, but obviously life moves on, so we got to move on as well. You brought up the point of discussing Russell Simmons and his family situation, which ties into that point. The world was watching as the Titan submersible was found in pieces, so we'll get into that. The things move along with the Trump investigation and another one of his pending cases. We'll get into that. The NBA draft was just Thursday night. Chris Paul was moved and moved again. We'll get into that. It's a lot that's on the plate, a lot. But I promise you, family, stick around. We'll hit it all and we'll keep it moving. What do you want to start? So let's go with the WPS. Was you following this damn whole Titan submersible drama tragedy? I mean, was that on your radar?
It began to get on my radar because everybody began to talk about it. And I just wanted to take a look at it and see, okay, what's going on? What's this about? Here's the thing, man. And I know people are like, you know, saying, hey, it's some rich stuff or what have you. But I will tell you the one thing, I just argued with a local politician about powerful white people. And I say, man, white folks are forever chasing history, right? People are like, hey, it's about money. And why would you go and why would you try to go find a Titanic? And I'm like, but they're invested in their history, even if it means their life, right? And it may seem like a waste of money, but the Titanic is a historical moment. So they wanted to be a part of seeing that wreckage, being a part of that historical moment. And it's certainly a conquest that my poor behind would not have paid millions of dollars to do, right?
$250,000.
Brother, that's $1 million to somebody like myself. That's $1 million, brother. Sorry, that's $1 million right there.
And they signed a waiver.
Man, come on. Hey, listen. I used to have a rule. My kids used to go on field trips, Lee. If it's a waiver saying that if my kids get hurt, that, hey, they're not covering my children, they don't go. That was it.
Right.
Now, that reads that some issues about to go down, okay?
Say that one more time. Are y'all serious right now?
Yeah, brother, you got to know. As soon as they tell you, hey, you got to you sign this no liability clause, that means it's going to be some liability to be had, and you don't want to be on the other end of it. And,
right.
$250,000 to me, on top of you ain't going to be liable if something go wrong, whew, that's a hefty investment. But I would say this. I do think that we as Americans don't have a healthy way of dealing with death. I saw what happened with the stepson. I've also seen the responses from people. And I'm like, people grieve differently. People grieve differently, and we don't know the relationship between him and the stepson. But we just know that these guys, and it was a young man who was on there as well, they just had this type of money to blow to chase history. And even though we may find it silly, if you know that may not be an interest of ours, the one thing I can say, whatever took place, they died going after something they wanted. Mm-hmm. Now, they could have invested that money into something else, but that's what they decided. And, I would have preferred in the day and age of drones, send the drone. But, man, it just shows you there's some things when it comes to nature, there's some things that man still can't conquer.
And yeah, should
I
not.
I follow that. You see the reenactment? You see the reenactment of what they said happened to the submarine?
No, I didn't see it.
Ooh, brother, hey, man, they say that pressure, boy, hey, like that thing got bent up like a RC cola can, brother, up under your foot.
RC cola can.
Hey, that's what they say. And once again, y'all, I'm not trying to make light of the dead because I'm very respectful of anybody who died. But, yeah, like a RC cola can, man, like it hit that pressure and it just got folded up and ripped the shreds.
Mm.
You won't have that happen for
so, but I want to take it back to what you said. So you spent $250,000 per person to be in a submersible that was experimental. Mm. And you signed away any and all ability that you may have for recourse if something went wrong. Now, I agree with you, Brother Barry. Chasing history is killer. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't putting my name on no piece of paper since I got out of the military that says I have no ability or my family has no ability to get you if this thing go wrong. And that thing went wrong. Bad wrong. So I don't know if history would be that important to me. Look, I don't even want to go on a damn boat as a cruise. I damn sure ain't going on no boat underneath all that goddamn water. You don't know what's underneath all that damn water. That's why y'all trying to find the Titanic. You already know where that damn Titanic is. You want to see the damn Titanic? Go on Netflix. What the hell wrong with you? Look, man, some things, just leave it alone. I understand. You know, you want to be an explorer. I understand that you want to make your mark on history. But you want to mark, you want to do it like this? This what you trying to do? I don't know about all that. I ain't with that. I'm not with that. I would have sat my ass at home and looked on the TV and be like, you know, it's a damn shame what happened to them folks. No, man. No. Again, that's too much damn water. Y'all out there, what's the backup? What's the backup plan? Whom is coming to save you if something goes awry? Obviously, nobody. You know, so the sub was supposed to come up on the same day it went down. Again, it was still in the practices. They're still trying to work out the kinks, right? Okay, first off, who the hell goes down with damn near a full crew and you still trying to work out the kinks? This is an experimental. Nah, man, it's too. There were too many variables on that. That if it, look, I know you've seen some of the videos I shared with the little white kid and the child care seat. That's mm-hmm. bullshit. That's bullshit. And that would have been like that's bullshit. I'm not getting on y'all crazy as hell. Look, y'all go down there first. You know what I'm saying? And if it worked out, just put my name on it. Just say I was there, but you couldn't see me in the picture because I was behind the camera. No, I'm sorry. I'm really trying to reconcile it in my mind. I'm trying to make it make sense. And no matter how I do it, it's still coming up as, yeah, nah, Chief, that ain't for me. Ain't for me.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Well, you know, brother, this is one of those things that I feel like, to be real, this is kind of where wealth has this level of boredom. And, you know, I think that they try to tackle or be death-defying a lot. And, you know, this ain't the first time in history because it used to be the hot air balloons, right? People just got money and said, I'm going to sail across. We're gonna float across the world. Well, you know, it's a thing called weather.
Yeah. Very unpredictable. Very unpredictable.
Right. You know, and so to me, I just don't think this is one of those times where you say you got to leave things to the experts, and you point out experimental, submersive device.
And you signing a waiver.
If this is, man, come on.
Okay.
Man. Come on, man.
Yeah, you playing with
come
the wrong
on,
one.
Man.
You playing with the wrong one. That's all I got to say. Look, call me. You say whatever you want. Call me whatever you want to call me. I would have been on the beat. The one boy talking about he backed out at the last minute. It was, you know what I'm saying? Okay. So he had some damn sense. So, you know, something in him was like,
had that vision.
Exactly. He had some damn sense. He like, you know what? This don't make no sense. This ain't adding up. Let me do a little something different. Everybody else going to go. He's sitting, look, I tell him all the time, somebody got to live and tell a story. Look, you talking to me about, so I don't do the beach. Not my thing, right? I don't do roller coasters. You wouldn't ride a roller coaster? Hell no. Look, somebody got to be on the ground to tell the story. I'm just letting you know. I'm not ziplining through nobody's damn jungle. What's wrong with you? That damn line break your damn neck. No, that's not cute. Somebody got to be on the ground to tell the kids. Now, look, y'all, I'm sorry. Your mama, she just wouldn't listen. She wouldn't listen. I told her ass not to go up in there, but she did it anyhow. I tried my best. But she was hard-headed. You know she was hard-headed. I'm not going to speak ill of the dead, but I'm just telling you the truth. But I'm here to comfort you. Now, let's go cash this life insurance policy so we can pay for the funeral. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Somebody got to let it tell a story. Somebody has to be there to tell the grandkids later on. You know, she was a very good woman. She just hard-headed at times. Just couldn't listen. But she was a very good woman. You would have loved to have met your grandmother. Somebody got to be there to tell the story. Why can't it be me? That's all I'm asking. Why we both got to do everything together? There's nothing in me that says that I want to jump out of a perfectly good aircraft. Why I got to do that with you just because we together? Well, I want to go skydiving. Well, take your ass on. I didn't say you couldn't go skydiving. I just told your ass I ain't going. I'm not going up in the plane. I will be there with you. I will watch the airplane take off. I will wish you the best of luck, without a doubt. I ain't going in that goddamn plane. What's wrong with you? Hell, you know what? I might even go on the plane for support. But I'm coming back on the ground the same way I went up, in the damn plane. What's wrong with you? I don't see all that. Y'all want to do these roller coasters with the whoop-de-whoop, swoop-de-whoop, and the big old loop, and you going through this, and you going through that. I'm a black man in America. Do you not understand? The most adrenaline rush that I need in a day is simply leaving my home and returning to my home with no bullet wounds and not wearing Tiffany handcuffs, Tiffany bracelets, because a cop felt a certain kind of way and decided to throw me in jail. Who's doing that? No, I'm good. I'm serious, bro. Like, I don't understand this need that some women have for this adrenaline rush. They always got to be excited. And it's the thrill of the thing. And, oh, my God, oh, I just want to walk by the ocean and the water. Look, that water dirty, and that ain't sand, it's dirt. I don't care what y'all call it. I know the definition. Sand is still dirt in my damn eyes. In my mind, it's dirt. I ain't walking around there on dirt. You know, the freaking people that walked up all up on that damn beach and then did this and did that on that damn stand. You know what I'm talking about. Now, they didn't have that damn dog and whatever they do, whatever animal they got just walking along with them and the dogs and did this and the dogs and did that. No. That's just nasty. Nasty. Thomas. I know you in Minnesota. Y'all ain't got a whole lot of. Well, you got water up there, yeah. Because you have, you know.
Yeah, Ten Valley Lake.
Yeah, Prince has infamously said, "Bathe yourself in the lake of what is it? The cool waters of Lake Minnetonka." You know what I'm saying? But are you a beach dude, Thomas? Is that your thing? Do you run up and down the beach?
No, bro.
Thank you. I just want to make sure it wasn't me because I get a bad rap.
Well, you know. You know what I tell them is last time we ended up on the beach, they put us on boats and we ended up somewhere straight.
On, thank you. Slavery. That's my vision. And they talk about these cruises and shit. Oh, take our cruise. We should take our cruise. We ain't getting on boat work. Last time we got on the goddamn boat, we woke up our asses and changed in America. No, I ain't getting on that boat. I ain't going to do it. Good morning, Brother Rodney.
Man.
How you doing?
Good morning, Brother Lee, Brother Barry, and I don't know if Sister Rashi's on, but good morning
to
everybody.
On, she said she couldn't be on this week. Rodney, now you come from a place near the water. You a beach person, Rodney?
I'm a beach house person.
Thank you, Rodney. Thank you. Walking around here, getting all that sand in the crack of your toes, then you sitting down, got all in the crack of your ears. No, I ain't doing all that. I'm not doing it, Rodney. It just ain't happening. madness. I don't understand them. What's wrong with them? Why you always got to do what they want to do? Why can't they do something you want to do? What's wrong with them, Rodney? Just talk to me. You the elder, Rodney. Help me understand. What's wrong with them?
Well, actually, that might not be the right question. Is what is right with them?
What's right? See, we can do the testosterone show today because Rashi ain't here, so we can talk our stuff today. Goodness, Rodney, I just don't get it. Want to do them roller coasters with the loop de loop and the soup de soup? Want to zip line all through there? But you look in Honduras zip line. You gonna mess around? Some damn baboon gonna be mad. And see, look at this one right here. Look at, I'm gonna slap the hell out of. And you gonna zip line through that damn line? Some baboon gonna come along, smash your ass, and you gonna ride up on that damn ground, breaking your neck. See, these are the things that I be thinking about. I be thinking about safety, Rodney. I be thinking about trying to get home in one piece, Rodney. I don't want to be on the television show. You know, they got all these TV shows now. You know, in prison abroad. I don't want to start a new television series in a hospital abroad because you out there doing some dumb stuff. No, your ass on the ground and go around and see the sights with the people. You know what I'm saying? No, we ain't doing all that. I'm not doing it, Rodney. I'm sorry. I'm on one this morning. I know. But I'm just not. It's just, no, it's not right. And you shouldn't, you ain't going to guilt me. You wouldn't do it with me. You know how they do, Thomas. You know how they do, Thomas. Mm-hmm. Well, you wouldn't do that with me.
Oh,
what about me? Oh, you never want to do anything I want to do. Yeah, I don't. Let me see. I just want to pay the bills, keep the lights on. I want to make sure you eat. I want to make sure you get some. Lord have mercy. Don't let me forget our anniversary. Don't let me forget Mother's Day. Don't let me forget any day with a Y on it because it's going to be a problem. I don't want to do any of that. You're right. Yeah, my bad. No, you know what got me started? What got me started is how we left off on Father's Day, and, you know, we were having an awesome discussion, and it went left. It got me started. It really got me started. You know, look, we go out here. It's a lot of good men out here. It's a lot of great men out here. It's a lot of great fathers. I'm sorry, I don't use that word. There are a lot of great dads out here that are really putting in the work and the effort to be with their children, to support their children, to see their children. They're three right here. They're three right here. We live with our children. Our children have lived with us. I'm not talking about a weekend. I'm not talking about a couple of days. I'm talking about physically live, full custody type situation and or joint custody because we were married with our children in the home. I'm just saying, we share that experience, right? And I don't want to have it cheapened by the cats out here that choose not to live that life because there are so many of us that live that life. Now, it doesn't mean that we're perfect. You know, most people tend to be better grandparents than parents because the parent thing doesn't come with a rule book. There's no playbook. And your children, every child is different. All of us have multiple children. All of our children are different. You know the one that you can lean on for this, and you know the one you can't lean on for that. You know if you need something done right here, right now, it might not be the oldest. It might be the baby that gets it done for you. It may be that middle child. You just never know. But you have to know your children. You know what I'm saying? So, no. No. And to that point, so, Thomas, you brought up Russell Simmons. So, Russell is caught up because his daughter typed a impassioned Happy Father's Day note to her mother, and she posted it on social media. What's up with that? What's up with that, Brother Barry?
Yeah, for me, brother, I posted this online, and I know a lot of people kind of got confused when I said I stand with Russell Simmons. Felt like that was like the most disrespectful thing that you can do to a father is to give ode to your mother on Father's Day. And it sparked off a chain of posts, one by Russell and then the response by the daughter and the mother. But for me, you all, I feel like that was a prime example of, yeah, men have flaws. And, you know, I disagree with how Russell began his relationship with the mother. But I was sitting there thinking to myself, all that Kamora Lee has, and she's been married two other times, and she's kept that Simmons at the end of her name all the time. A lot of what she has, and I'm not saying that she hasn't put some type of brain power into work behind it, but she wouldn't have the access to do that to provide for her children if it was not for Russell. So on Father's Day, whether they are talking or not, I thought that that was totally disrespectful for the daughter to send that to her mother. And even more disrespectful, her mother could have responded and said, hey, I need you to take this down. Even if there's issues with your father, this is not the day. You don't have to do this on this day. You can call me and just give me the way I took it. Brother Rodney, you know, how would you reflect on something like that when you see things like that?
Well, I think that if they wanted to have two Mother's Days, they would have had two Mother's Days.
Mm.
But that wasn't the goal. The goal was after Mother's Day, a daughter whose father had been through a lot and took care of his large family, she wanted for fathers to get the same recognition or be put on the same level as mothers, not a tier below, but for them to have a separate recognition. And that's what it says. It's father's possessive. And it's possessive and to that father. And what other fathers do has no bearing. And that's the way that they, that's what it was created for. And that's what it's supposed to be for. Now, in that definition, that includes, it includes stepfathers. It includes grandfathers. It does include father figures.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't say Happy Mother's Father's Day. It's Happy Father's Day. And it should be just that, a day to recognize the positive impact that fathers have on their families with their children, period. So I think that there's quite a bit of selfishness and ego involved with people who try to transpose Mother's Day on Father's Day. It is Father's Day, possessive, and that's the way it should stay.
So you said...
I agree.
That it's... Yeah. But you said that it was even... I'm sorry, Rodney. I'm trying to remember the exact words. You said you feel that some folks trying to hijack it was what of them again? I'm sorry. I apologize.
I said it's some ego involved, and it's,
there you go.
It's selfish.
And selfish. I can't even understand how those terms might relate to other people, because they're so giving and so thoughtful, so not about that life that they accuse us to be about all the daggone time. But, you know, it's okay. I think that it's hurt. I think that for some folks, it is the hurt associated with the understanding that this is not the life that they wanted for themselves, but it's the life that they chose. And they, not everyone was bamboozled. A lot of people openly chose this. And I've said this a million and one times. You know, you are upset for dealing with somebody that you knew wasn't no damn good, but you still dealt with them. And not only did you deal with them, but you allowed them to plant seed in you that you then in turn decided to keep and take care of. And you thought that this no good person was going to change because your poom-poom was that good, or was it that your soul was that good? I don't know, because, you know, if he got 7 baby mothers and 11 kids, I don't think that's going to change. I don't think that's how you're going to change the stripes. I don't see that happening. I just don't see that happening. And I'm speaking to how horrible he is. I'm speaking to how horrible he is. This is not a cat. This is not a cat that's looking to be like, you know what? I think I want to really focus on somebody and make a run at something. This is a cat that is on some, I'm trying to run through whatever I can run through. And as I run, I'm going to leave as many deposits as I can. And they're going to figure it out, because my job is done. My job is just to create more of me's. Not to take care of them, just create them. So I don't get that part.
Well,
I
don't get that. I feel like, but I think that men who try to conquer with their penis have not, or I should say males who try to conquer with their penis have not achieved manhood. But I think that we have to honor that, to understand that there are some of us who are just left at a state of immaturity based off of how they were raised and their experiences, et cetera. Then the other side of it is there's women who have a state of immaturity too. As my brother Mujasi always talks about, it's the state of, it's the princess, it's the princess theory, where he says that a lot of sisters suffer from the ideology that they're princesses. So when you talked about the beach and the sands and all of these things, it's what a princess would do, right? It's what royalty would do. This is what we see on television. They want their kin. What is a kin? Well, kin is a dial that you make that dial up how that dial is. You know, you're not looking at the idea that this is plastic and it's fake, but it's the ideology that you plant on each man, right? And even though this kin might break, you just go get you another kin. And you keep on redo the fantasy over and over and over again, and you're not necessarily grounded in the state of reality. And I think that a lot of people in our community just don't have the level of emotional maturity. Now, let's get back to the procreation piece. I think that a lot of it boils down to some folks want children because they still are trying to find love. And they feel like the abundance of love that they're going to get typically is through their children. And we have a lot of that. And I always question the brothers who have a bunch of children. I say that they have some type of mental disability. And I say the same thing about sisters. I just don't understand how you see someone who is A, because it works both ways. You know, it's either a brother that got a bunch of children that he's not taking care of, or a sister who's got a bunch of children that she can't take care of, right? Mm-hmm. And how do we get to that point? Well, we keep on saying we want to do it, but also how does that impact other men? Because I hear sisters say time and time again, Brother Lee and Rodney, that they don't want to be judged based off what other women do. So when one man does something, so you may have 5 baby daddies, but what about the 2 that do take care of their children? If you got 2 that are taking care of their children and then you got 3 others, they're not all deadbeats. You chose the other 3. You chose those other 3, and you have to have a level of ownership in that, but also you have to ask yourself, why are you constantly laying with someone without an assurance of tomorrow? Like, it has to be a level of assurance, if that makes sense, because with 3 children, with myself and Nicole, y'all, it wasn't easy with us together, right, trying to split our time between work, their schedules, and our own personal rest and reset so we can get back to work so we can provide all those things. At some point, my mother-in-law moved in with us, and she began to be a large part of that help, right, because she could pick up the slack as far as the dropping off, picking up when we could not, right? And
right,
so
right.
I just think that there's a level of, and I don't know why we always have to have this discussion around Father's Day, I feel like the idea of poor parenting only comes up on Father's Day. And I just think that's a slap in the face. I swear to God, man, like we only examine what it's like to be a parent on Father's Day. Like there is no disqualifier on Mother's Day to say, hey, happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers who are present. I never see those posts. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who attend parent-teacher conferences. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers who hug and kiss and say they love their children. Like, there's never qualifiers for being a mother. And I feel like, and I think that's what Brother Rodney was going when he was saying in the chat last week, and Rod, you can definitely correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like we're celebrating fathers. All of that other stuff, we can get to that some other time. Why are you trying to turn off the music to talk about the people that's not at the party when we're talking about the people that's in the party?
At the party, right. That having a good time. That are appreciative of what you put together for them, whom are appreciated by the majority of the organizers at the party. But you wanted to track. You wanted to track because, again, you are upset because of the road that you chose to travel. And, again, I'm not saying everybody I'm not saying no one was hoodwinked. Some people were hoodwinked. You know, look, as Rashi says, I'm going to speak for her. Some cats play the long con. You know, some cats do. I think that as a man, knowing me and knowing my friends, I think we know when we want to get out, but we're not so quick to jump out. I'll tell you specifically a case on my behalf. And I grew up in this because I actually voiced my intentions. There was a young lady that was trying to date me, so she said, and we could never get it together. Like, if I went left, she went right. If I went right, she went left. It was just horrible. So this went on for years, and I mean years. So she came to me one day, and she was talking the same talk that she's always talking. I said, yo, let me tell you something. At this point, I'm trying to fuck. And once we are done with that, we are done. But I've invested too much time in you, too much energy in you, to walk away from this with nothing. So at least I want to walk away with the draws. I want to be Tommy in this situation. You know, what does GTD mean? What's that? GTD, Tommy. GTD, what does it mean? Got the draw. You are in the court of law, man. Speak up, man. I got the draws, man. I got the draws. I just want to be GTD walking out of the situation. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if I said GTD, then it was truly a waste of my time. And we got to that point, and I stopped calling her. She called me. She's like, why haven't you called me? I said, I told you clearly. I said the exact word. I don't know if you thought I was joking, but I was serious as hell. Like, we've been going back and forth and back for years. Like, yo, can I get something out the deal? Because you've gotten whatever the hell you wanted. So I might as well get something out of the deal. And that was that. And she laughed and she said to me directly, she was like, yo, I thought you were just a pushover. I'm finding out more and more that you're not. It's like, yo, I'm not a pushover. Don't let the shirt and the shoes fool you. You know what I'm saying? I grew up, and I matured. But that doesn't mean that I don't remember where I'm from. Trust me. You know what I mean? So, yeah, no. But to that point, and I don't want to get off of Russell too far because I want us to do a little deeper dive in that, but I want to go to the other point, Brother Barry, we were talking about this offline before the show. And you were telling me about your thoughts of when a woman approaches you. Share that, please, publicly.
Yeah, I just think, you know, for me, I think when a woman approaches you, because I had a situation where they approached me, and I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't feeling the idea of, as a man, being approached. And of course she laid out all of her attributes as far as business and her progression in her business and the money she has, et cetera. But she didn't, you know, she wasn't trying, in my humble opinion, to correlate the idea of coupling. It was pretty much like a flex. It was almost like how brothers flex on sisters at times, where they talk about all the money they got, all of the cars and material things, but nothing that really links you into a relationship where you say, I really like that person. Not even aside to even build attraction, if you will, because those are the things that you need to not only get in a relationship, but also maintain a relationship. And I think, you know, and I'll say this to any listener out there, you know, sisters out there, if men have, you know, at this age, especially being in my mid-40s, men, we need more of nurturers now than ever because we're already tackling the world. So when we come home, we're looking for a soft place to land. We're not looking for anybody that we got to live wrestle with about our ideas and ideologies. We're really looking for someone that's not only going to protect us from the world, but it sometimes prevent us from overdoing it, overthinking, working our own self so we don't have these heart attacks and these strokes. And I don't think the sister got it, you know. And it was kind of interesting, man, because I was just thinking we were going to build about business, and it became a whole marriage proposal thing, if you will. But yeah, man, it was odd, man. Brother Rodney, I thought I was losing it, man. I'm like, dang, man, I must have lost some steps, man. I got him hitting on me versus me getting on them, man. Okay?
that means you gained a step, bro.
Well, I mean, listen, brother, I would have said, yeah, if it was the right type of proposal, but that was like one of those ones, like, yo, we ain't getting no younger.
We might as well do it. It was one of those things.
Like, yo, we can go ahead and jump off this cliff together. And I think that, you know, since brothers don't mind y'all coming at us in certain ways, but in some aspects, we're just like, yo, and I'm more of a traditionalist anyway. If it's somebody that I want to pursue for marriage and relationship, if you like me, put yourself in my aura so that you can get my attention so that I can get that to you. But if you initially, we can't sit down like we having a business meeting and say, okay, let's get married tomorrow. That's not how that works.
Brother Rodney, you been in that situation where sister invited you out? Where sister invited you out, you thought it was, you thought, nah, come on now. Sister invited you out, you thought it was just casual conversation. Because you know me, you know I'm stupid. You pointed out to me on more than one occasion how stupid I am. and if I haven't shared this, I will. But you have pointed out to me how stupid I am on more than one occasion. But you have not been engaging in the sister and thought it was just conversation. And then later on, she either said something directly or did something directly that made you look back like, hold on. What the hell is going on right here?
So once I met someone, and I thought we were just talking, really wasn't thinking anything, but hey, we vibe, we connect, we have conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Conversation is easy. And that was really it. And she was, I think, vice president of a bank. And it was the end of the day, and she had to go do the drop. She had to go pick it up and do the drop. And she asked me to meet her, which I thought was odd that we didn't know each other that well, but yet she was asking me to meet her when she was going to, you know, pick up this money and do this drop. And so I did, thinking, man, that's a whole lot of trust for a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And after we met, she said, so when are we going to have sex?
Oh.
And Lee, I was aghast.
Oh.
And, you know, I didn't have any pearls on, but if I'd have had some on, I would have clutched them.
You would have clutched them. You clutched them pearls. Wow.
But I truly was shocked because it wasn't what I was looking for. Now, there was nothing wrong with the sister, but it just wasn't what I was looking for, and I was looking for something that might lead to a friendship.
Right.
But so when she asked me the question, it just totally caught me by surprise. So I thought it was her odd sense of humor.
Okay.
And I sort of played along with it. But then she said, no, I'm serious. When are we going to have sex?
Oh, damn. Rodney, it's the voice, bro. I told you this. I told you this back in 1997. It's the voice, bro. You kill him with the voice, bro.
Well, there's not much I could do about that. It sort of is with me.
Right.
So I was just really, you know, shocked, and it wasn't what I was looking for. And she got kind of upset when I didn't, you know, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of got past that. We got past that, and we went back to just talking because that's what we were having a good time. And I remember she was studying. I think she was getting her grad degree, and she had asked me to help her with something. And Lee, like I said, sometimes you were missing it. Sometimes I miss those context clues as well. And she said, hey, meet me at my house. I got this project, and I need you to help me.
Same situation. Like, oh. That's the same situation you told me about.
I was like, oh, okay. So I get to her house. She's dressed in a nightie, which should have been my first clue, but it was like, oh, shucks, I'm committed now. I'm here. So we go in, and she does actually do work, and I do help her with the work. But she got this nightie on, and she was banging. But ultimately, I'm a gentleman. I'm sometimes overly gentlemanly, and I'm trying to avert my gaze and all of that, and she's trying to make sure that she's right in front of my gaze. And so when we got done with the work, I actually stand up to head to the door. And she walks me to the door and gets in front of the door and puts the body on me. And, you know, men are naturally weak for the body. When it's looking good, she's smelling good, and she put the body on you, it's tough. But what she didn't know is, you know, I believe in the power of mind over body. And I'm like, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm out of here. And Lee, it hurt her feeling so bad that it hurt my feeling. And so that was one time.
Wow.
And then there was another time I met a young lady. She was a doctoral student, and we met for lunch, and it was a nice lunch. But then at the lunch, now this is the first time we had gone out, so to speak, and at the lunch, she basically made me the same offer. And, you know, I'm not cool like you younger fellas like that. I'm used to being the one, you know, they're supposed to bat the eyes a little bit and drop some, you know, again, drop some hints, and then I'm supposed to move on it, right? They're supposed to make themselves approachable to me. And when they come out and just throw it on me, I wasn't used to that. And then after talking with the young lady, I found out that she had, you know, she had a troubled past of abuse. And I started noticing that a lot of this stuff comes from a certain type of background. Not all, but a lot of times, in my experience, it came from a background of abuse that led to a level of what used to be called promiscuity. And when they see a person, often that they respect, and even might see as someone to advise them, a father figure, that the way that they express.
Well, she's going to call you daddy.
Well, yeah, and get that spanking. So the way that they express themselves, the way that they express their appreciation for how they perceive you is on a physical level, and that is really a psychological disorder that many of us men either don't realize and treat it as such, or just see it as an opportunity to, as you say, get the draws, and they take
GTD.
Them, and then that leads to the brokenness, though, of that woman even further. And so, though I don't necessarily blame the brother for her initial plight that put herself in, that made herself the rabbit in the chase, but in a negative way, there is a level of brokenness there that I believe brothers should not take advantage of. But then I also have to put into play the brokenness of brothers from childhood traumas.
There you go.
And so on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, Rodney, I want to step back a couple of seconds because I agree with that point wholeheartedly. Like, you got to factor into our brokenness and our lack of understanding or emotional maturity, I should say, which is very high. You know, it takes us a while to come around to that. Most of us are not I wouldn't say most. A lot of us are not bought in, up in a culture that allows us to be emotionally expressive. So if we're not expressing it, how do we learn it? We learn about trial and error, and unfortunately, some of those errors are women that we've broken in the process or have added to their brokenness in our process of understanding where things are. You know, but I want to step back a couple of seconds to where you said you are sometimes you are overly gentlemanly, right?
Yep.
I saw that in myself, hence the reason that you've said to me more than once, you don't see that. I saw that in myself, especially at the point that we met. Because I didn't have an agenda. I really didn't. My only agenda was to help people and educate people. So I wasn't looking for anything from anyone except one, and you know who that is, except for Ms. Brown. She was the only one I was looking for anything for, Kelly Brown. Ma'am, Thomas Berry, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Kelly Brown, boy, Thomas, when I tell you the look of that woman was quintessential Levon, absolutely. She, the blacker than a thousand midnight, short, stacked, just nice demeanor. I was like blown. The first time I saw that woman, I was like, wow, yeah, that's me, son. And I had no problems with declaring I wanted to get wild. But I really didn't because I was never around to. She was the only person that really had my eyes in Korea. Everybody else was just like, hey, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. I didn't even see him. I recall one time in particularly, Rodney, I don't know if you remember this or not, but we were over by the baseball field, which was outside of the gym. So we standing over there, these two sisters were there. And they called me over. So Rodney, of course, was with me because pretty much wherever he was, I was, and vice versa. So we walk over. We started engaging. And it was the same situation that Rodney just said. You know, sister was like, hey, Lee, what's going on? I was like, hey, what's up? Blah, blah. She was going through all this stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. So in the middle, she says, well, when are you going to come see me? And I was like, well, you know, just tell me when. You know, she said, okay. So we kept talking, blah, 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 blah. So at the end of the conversation, she says again, she says, hey, so when you coming by? And I was like, well, yo, I mean, I can do it tonight if you want to. She said, oh, hold on, let me see. And the other girl was our roommate, so they had a couple words. She comes back. She goes, how about like 8? And I said, okay, that's fine. So they leave. We're walking, and Rodney's looking at me, and I'm like, what are you looking at? He's like, so you just didn't see that. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, Lee, you didn't just see that. See what, Rodney? What the hell are you talking about? Lee, what just happened? I said, blah, 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 blah. Okay, what did she say? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, what did you say? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, what did you say? What did she say again? Blah, blah, blah. So, okay, what did you say? Blah, blah, blah. And you didn't see that. And I was like, Oh, yeah. Oh, no, right. Yeah. It's like, oh, what? How that happened? Come on, dog. That's not the first time that's happened to you. I was like, are you serious? He's like, Lee, you. I was like, I don't, Robbie, because I did not have an agenda. And I don't know if a lot of women understand that. Like, everybody doesn't have an agenda. Everybody doesn't want to get your draws. Some people just want to have a conversation. Some people genuinely just want to get to know you. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Talk to him, Brother Barry. Let him know.
Well, I think a lot of it, though, is that we talk so much about male ego that we don't talk about female ego. You shared that sugar daddy piece in the chat. So I went on that sister's page, and I got to looking at some of the other videos she made about sisters. And when I was listening to what she was saying, all of those things, it was always about people and their ego and how they're, like, served. And a lot of it is that a lot of these sisters, they emulate a lot what they think masculinity are. So what I was talking about, it was almost as if this is how men have talked to her. So she felt like she was going to talk to me and I was going to understand the language. And it's like, no, that's how lame men may talk to you, but I'm not going to talk to a woman about what I can do for her, what I could provide for her. That's later on in the discussion when I can see she's a good fit for what I got going on and we got some commonality, right? But I think that a lot of sisters really think the things that they bring to the table, like, I got a good job, I'm educated, you know, I can clean the house, I can cook, and that's cool, you cook it for your children. You know, you got a nice car, that's cool, that's your car. But what happens when a man don't want your car, don't want your money, don't even really need you to cook, got his own house? What else are you going to bring that's going to mesh to make everything go forward? Because we can have a lot together, but do we work together? And I think that, once again, in a mature state, now she would have found me 15, 20 years ago and showed me all of these things, and I would have probably said, shoot, sign me up, right? Being immature and not knowing exactly my value. But when you deal from a level of maturity and understanding who you are and where you're going, I just don't think, you know, it is. And you're right, Brother Rodney. You turn a sister down and they get crushed. And I was looking for the easy landing spot yesterday because I'm aware of that. When you turn sisters down and you kind of just reject them and be like, whatever, that could become a lifelong enemy. Because when that ego gets into play, that's why a lot of these sisters are upset with either their children's fathers, their exes, or their own fathers. It's the idea of, it's not just about the disappointment of leaving them with the kids. It's the idea of rejection. Why not me? And even if they didn't want the man, I've seen this in cases where sisters been like, professing to the world, I don't want him. He is no good. He just this. And then that man goes on, he finds another woman, and he does all the things she said he couldn't do or he wouldn't do. Then she feels like, well, why not me? Now I feel hurt because he wouldn't do none of that with me. And I feel like we got to stop operating from that space. You know, relationships are a lot about compatibility. And who's going to bring out the best in you typically is going to have you go the longest yards. And some sisters don't get that. You can do everything for a man, but is he going to feel like a man with you waiting on him hand and foot, buying his clothes, putting money in his pocket? He's probably going to abuse you because he don't feel like a man. You know, allow him that space so he can contribute, y'all can combine and build together. Then you'll get a man. And then you're going to get a protector. You're going to get a provider. You're going to get someone that's going to pour back into you as you pour into them. And I just don't think in a certain dichotomy, I just don't think that we're teaching that from an aspect. And you see all of these beautiful, wealthy sisters who got this same Stella Got a Groove Back conversation, But we know how that story ended in reality. What happened? The man ended up being gay. He ended up taking her for her money and using her to get a green card. And he went on about his life. So you got to be careful in trying to be some other sugar mama or trying to be, what I say, play mammy. You know, you don't need to play mammy with a man. A man is coming to bring something to the table. He ain't coming just to take from the table.
I've never had a sugar mama. I don't think I could put up with a sugar mama. I can use a partner. I do need a partner. No, I really don't, because just like you said, I don't think I would feel like a man, to be honest with you. No, I could use a partner because we all go through rough patches and hard times, and I make it be known all the time to my friends and my family. I'm very thankful to those whom are in my corner and supportive of my life, without a doubt, because there are a number of things I would not be able to do without support from other people, and I'm very grateful for that. But, you know, I would like to think that I always pay that forward in a multitude of other ways. Hopefully it evens out. But, yeah, that's definitely no. No. And who says that I need you to cook and clean? Shit, I might cook and clean better than your ass. You know what I'm saying? Like,
your cooking might not be shit. Man, extreme.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just keeping it 100. You know what I mean? Your cooking might not be shit. Like, your kids ate it because they had to, not because they wanted to. You know what I'm saying? That don't. And just because they ate it, don't. Hell, and two, they didn't know no better because that's what they had to eat. So they thought this was the best thing cooking. You know what I'm saying? I come along
right.
And look at somebody, ooh, they might look at you sideways, be like, what the hell? Mama, you've been on some old bullshit all these years. You know what I'm saying? But let's backstep a little bit. So, because going back to Russell, I'm sorry, we left it. I said I didn't want to go too far, and I want to go hit that before we hit on this insurrection in Russia for a hot second. So Russell and Kimora got together. Russell was 35. Kimora was 17. 17 to 35. And this relationship was not sanctioned by her parents. How does that work? How do you serve your 17-year-old child up to a grown-ass man on purpose? Because, again, you did not sanction this. You said it was okay, be it through your silence or you literally saying it's okay. And this is a grown-ass man. This mug almost 40. He's 35. You got a 17-year-old daughter. How that work? Rodney, would you let your 17-year-old daughter date a 35-year-old dude?
Well, 17 is still a child.
Correct.
And 35 is definitely supposedly a mature man, or at least a mature male. And so if I have any say-so in it, and no, that's not going to happen. This way, I remember when my mother was going to the gym earlier on. I think I was in early high school. And she wound up, her and her trainer hit it off, and she was doing well. She had been, you know, was single, but he was much younger than my mother. And my older brothers came to me, and we talked about it, and we thought that my mother was over her skis, too far over her skis on this, and didn't see the guy for what it was, and she was a mark for him, and she, you know, she fit all the blocks for that. And so basically, that was when I was in the life, and my older brothers came to me and said, he needs to go.
Mm.
And if I agreed with it, which I did, and they says, okay, do what you need to do for him to be gone. And my mother never saw him again. Never.
Mm.
And
There's so many levels to that bad word right there. Okay, I got you.
I was a different person back then. I give thanks every day, Lee, that I'm alive and that I'm not in jail.
Right.
But people see me as I am today, not as I was. And though that is a part of my makeup, it is there in me. But I'd like to think that I have advanced beyond what used to be just me. Because now I am more of the ancestors that is in me and not in that transitionary state. So I think that sometimes just the way the two genders are set up and the way life is, that people find themselves in situations, and sometimes they need some external help out of that situation, because once they're in it, they're so focused on that thing that they're missing everything else. They're not realizing that they had to reach in a pile of dung to pull out just a penny, because they were so focused on the penny, not realizing they're submerged in dung. And that's when you need a good friend, a very close relative, or a loving son that has means outside of the norm to take care of the situation.
Right. I got you.
Well, I want to say that in Missouri, the actual age of consent is actually 17. And I think that one of the things that we struggle with in this country is really knowing what is statutory rape or what's the age of consent. Because I think that, for me, I felt like Russell, now she said at 16, but I felt like Russell knew her at 14 and was grooming her up until that point.
Right.
So I felt like it was a level of Woody Allen-ish, if you will, where he saw this young girl, and from what I've read, now, of course, on Father's Day, now all of a sudden the conversation is sexual assault. But in the past, it was always talked about as light-hearted, and he would come and spend time with her and get to know her. But this is when she was a model, and he had baby fat. Oh, no, not baby fat at the time. It was Fat Farm and other aspects. But he met her at a runway. Well, we see a lot of these things, sex trafficking and young girls being prostituted out, take place, right? And so I don't look at how he got with her as admirable, right? I definitely look at it as predatory. But then I'm looking at the nuance of it all, of saying, yeah, that's predatory. However, when we talk about her and her daughters speaking on Russell in that fashion, she was able to break free of us maybe 15 years ago and got married twice. I know the brother who played in Amistad, he also has a son by her. And he's spoken of the complications of her trying to isolate him from his son and turn his son against him. And then she married this rich white guy who was also married to somebody else at the same time he was married to her. And he was stealing funds from other people as well as Russell. They went to court.
Oh, slow down, slow down. He was a bigamist?
Yeah, he was.
Where the hell did they get married at?
I think he married in another country. And she didn't know about it. But he also got caught for, stock fraud and things of that nature. And so, to me, when I go back and I look at Kamora, and that could be because of the situation with Russell and how the relationship started, and she could still be stuck in that state, right? And you have to look at it from that angle, too. Still believe, Brother Rodney and Lee, that she wouldn't be half of who she was if it wasn't for the fortune that Russell amassed. And while I feel like Russell was wrong for how he met this sister, groomed this sister, and, you know, married her. I also look at it from the aspect that she was a part of the heist as well, though. And at this point in time, it's hard for me to listen to someone talk about sexual assault in the R. Kelly type of way, knowing that they're sitting on hundreds of millions of dollars that belong to this man. And they were, in some aspect, willing to go along as long as the money was there. The issue today is that he's broke. And now that he's broke, he doesn't serve a purpose. So he can't be that sugar daddy or that trick anymore. So now it folds him because there's no more juice in his orange.
So
back
in the day,
go ahead, Ron. Go ahead.
Well, back in the day when I had the magazine and it was new, I had the opportunity to interview the daughters, and I still have that interview around here. I don't think I ever published it. And I remember after doing the interview, I said that one of the ways that you judge parents, if you're going to judge them on their parenting, is through their children.
Mm-hmm.
But contrary to what people might believe, and man, I have to dig that story out. Maybe I'll share it with you, brothers. The daughters, is one of them named, and I get them mixed up sometimes, but is one of them named Angela, I think?
No. So you're thinking about Rev Run's kids. That's Angela and
go.
Vanessa.
There we go. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
yes.
we're talking about Russell's kids. That's Ioka and what's the other one's name? It begins with an M.
Yep. You're right. I interviewed them, and I thought, wow,
which one?
So they were young.
You interviewed Rev Run's kid or
yes.
Russell's kid?
Yes, Reverend Run's kid. And
okay,
I remember thinking, wow, they had it together. The daughters had it together, and which led me to think, wow, the parents have it together. But in doing that, I made a leap thinking that it was a family thing. And that's the way it would, you know, in that circle of people, that's just the way that they were. But then I found out from Russell's kid, from the way that their arrangement was, that, wow, how could it be so different? They're the same circle of people, but they're different. And so when we start talking about, especially celebrities, when we start talking about them and what their exposures are, and this goes really to everybody, you know, just like the mistake that I made, that if it's good with this group because they're in the same circle, that it'll be good with that group. Just totally not the case. And I think that we do judge, contrary to what we may say outwardly, we're always judging. Maybe discernment is a politer word, but we're always judging. Is that these people have so many pressures on them. And I put in the chat about the 35 and the 17 and the legal age. The legal age is one thing, and that can be different things in different places. But ultimately, it's how do we see it? Because if you don't have a standard, there obviously is no standard. So you have to have a standard. And 18 is the standard. Now, I'm one who believes it actually should be older because we're still adolescents until we're, on average, until we're 27. Some people a little sooner, some people a little later, but on average until we're 27. And every time we go down further, everybody cannot be the exception. Somebody has to be the rule.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes, especially with celebrities, it tends to be sometimes – it tends to be a royalty thing. this family hooks up with that family because of Dustin. So they have money, they have power, they have access, they have something. And then that becomes sort of the modus operandi of that circle of people. And in, I think Thomas laid out some of the other issues that were involved, and there leads to confusion, and the children tend to be the ones who catch most of the dysfunction from the confusion.
Well, my seeds bury his seeds, the bury his seeds, that's how we keep Wu-Tang money all up in the family. So, yeah, that is definitely that is definitely a motive that many people use. But and really it is. It's to keep the money all in the family. It's to keep like people, quote unquote, amongst like people. But hell, man, I agree with you, Rodney. Like, yo, you 35, dog, 17? Nah, man, that's not appropriate in any way, shape, or form. In my opinion, it's not appropriate, you know. So when it comes to his daughters having beef with him and making it public, I go back to what Thomas said earlier. Yes, I think their mother should have checked her and said, you need to remove that. And, you know, because if that's something that you have, that you feel that strongly about, you need to talk to your father. You don't need to put your father on blast like that. To your point, Brother Barry, you know, you're talking about a man that has put all of us on solid ground. Put all of us on solid ground. Now, at one point, you say, it's a money grab for him, but, and this is Kimora's video, but the daughter was saying he cut us off financially. So which one is it? Is he
right.
Still well off, or is he not? Because the daughter is saying he cut us off financially, which leads me to believe he still has some means. But the mama is saying, I don't know if you're broken on your, like, so. What was even the point of you saying that? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I know,
again, this
well, I know
the,
in the text. I read a text.
Huh?
I read a text to his daughter, and he said that Kimora stole $250 million from him.
Right.
And I think when, I don't know about you two, but if my kid's mother stole $250 million from me, and they hit me up about money, I am going to tell you to be the single mama, because why wouldn't I? At that point, she has my money, and if she has my money, that's going to literally be what I'm going to say. Or if I'm broke, I'm going to say, get it from your mother. And
right.
I just don't think, to me, the whole conversation is about if he can't provide, in a sense, even though we know all this other stuff that he's done, and I'm not co-signing that, even with the age of consent thing, I have a thing to me where I feel like I don't care if a person is 21 and the other person is 45. I don't care if a person is 27 and the other person is 47. I think that at some point you kind of understand that certain situations are made because certain people are taking advantage. And if you told me that this person turned 21, Rodney and Lee, but he knew her at 14, and he was taking her out on dates and all kinds of other stuff and said, hey, I kept my hands off of her, but I waited for her 21st birthday. I'm going to say that man was grooming that girl for him, and he wasn't even allowing her the space for somebody her age to come along. So they were already operating in a relationship, if you will, if you want to believe that they weren't having sex, right? That's what I'm going to say. So for me, you know, and Kimora Lee, you know, she also was dealing with Birdman at one point. So she's dealt with a platitude of brothers after Russell. And I just look at it from the aspect of, you know, in society, we don't have a respect for black fathers. And I felt like this is another example of, because he didn't have the finances to provide, I'm talking about an Uber ride, or we're talking about some other simple thing where the daughter was stating, paying for her rent. It's like, well, if your mother stole $250 million from him, why wouldn't you do anything? Especially if he's telling you his if he's venting his frustration and you're saying, I ain't got nothing to do with it. Well, hey, you're right. You ain't got nothing to do with it. Give him your mama then, because I can't give no more. And I just thought that, honestly, they showed on Father's Day that they only saw him as their father when he could provide them with something. Once he said, nah, I'm cutting you off, now it's you're harmful for my mental health. You're toxic. And I saw all of these adjectives being thrown out at this man, and I'm looking at him, I'm like, well, you know, he told you at 20, you just graduated from Harvard, get it how you live. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with your father saying, hey, if you really wanted to model, that was your thing, why spend money on going to Harvard Law School when you could have put that money towards your career? Because if you go to law school, if you go to Harvard to graduate, my thing would be, Brother Rodney Lee, is that you're going to pursue it and take it to a whole other level. That's why you went to school. Not you graduate from Harvard and then you turn around and look at your parents and say, I don't want to do this no more. I just want to be a model. So look out for me. Use your connection. I would say, nah, you can use that money and put that money towards your career if you want to use it to do. So I think Russell was doing, he was doing what a father's supposed to do. It's just that they see him as this broke man, and now that he doesn't have the finances, there's no respect for him.
Broke and broken, because, he's in Bali, living there. For whatever his reasons, the rumors have circulated that he's trying to avoid pending charges around his Me Too allegations that have been – I'm sorry, not his – the allegations that he Me Too some folks. So who knows, but yeah.
I heard that in the league, and I read that all of those cases got dismissed.
Yeah, well,
when things like that come about and people say bad things about you, when they're dismissed, that's not as public as it is when the charges are brought up.
Absolutely.
But I've seen several different news sources that stated that all of those cases were dismissed by a judge. Statute of limitations on most of those cases, right? Or not enough evidence to go forward. And so, people move all the time out of the country. I'm not trying to say whether he is or he isn't, but I do believe that sometimes we believe the tabloid stuff and we leave it there, and that goes back to these women and what part of maturity is that. Is Kamora still stuck at that 17-year-old mindset, right, where she went from Russell to Birdman to the brother from Amistad to this rich white guy, and she goes from man to man, and they're all wealthy, they all are well-to-do, and it's her thing that she's looking like that 17-year-old still somebody that's going to take care of her.
Take care of her.
Her using all of her talent. Right. And now her daughters have that same mentality. That's the mentality that's been passed on. See, daddy treated mommy like a princess, right? And so the man got daddy needs to treat you like a princess, and every other man after daddy needs to treat you like a princess, too.
Well, Brother Barry, let's not say that she's not using her talents, because she very well could be using her talents.
Oh man,
she very well could be using her diamond. So now,
well, Brother Ronnie,
they may not.
Elite.
Mm-hmm.
How do y'all feel about that being attached to fatherhood though? Like this idea that if a father can't provide, then he's no longer a father.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, because providing what, though? So, yes, it is generally our role to take care of our family, but take care of it how? you know, the world has truly changed. And again, just like I said, the quote-unquote traditional role of a woman cleaning and cooking may not be her strong suit. Maybe the role of being the at-home parent isn't her strong suit. Just like every father is not a dad, every mother is not motherly. That's the reality. Nobody says that, though. Nobody says that. But every mother is not motherly. Just because you can carry a child and birth a child does not make you motherly. You know what I'm saying? Some folk may see that simply as their responsibility. My responsibility is to bear a child. Like you said earlier, Brother Bear, you know, some folks may see it as, well, I'm doing this because I'm looking for love, and that's going to be unconditional love. Very well may do so. You know, other folks may do it because that's truly what they want to do. I don't know. But I'm sorry, Rodney, you get a chance to respond to that.
Well, I was just going to say traditionally cooks were males, so the top chefs today are still male, but there may be some sexism involved, but so when we start talking about traditional thing, sometimes traditions aren't traditions, or the traditions change. It's like cheerleaders used to be all male and then later became female. But I do think that in today's society, there are roles, and there is a place for roles. But like I said earlier, there's always exceptions to everything. And yes, all too often when it comes to a man doing man stuff revolves around finances. What are they willing to provide? And I'm not necessarily against the concept of man being provider and protector, because I actually do believe in it. But, you know, sometimes if the woman has skills beyond the man and she's able to bring in, you know, the Benjamins, then why not let her bring in the Benjamins? And so therefore the role doesn't have to be in stone. But at the same token, whenever, you know, we typically hear taking care of the children, it has nothing, usually it has very little to do with spending time with the child. If you're separated or divorced, it's how much money are you providing? And that money equates to taking care of the child. Children, especially young children, don't need that much money. They need money for a specific thing. Most of the time, that money is for the spouse to use on whatever they use. Right?
I'm glad that you said that. No, finish your point. Finish your point. I'll jump in afterwards.
Well, it's just that the idea of a man taking care of the child all too often comes down to whatever money and other resources like that the father brings. And specifically when we talk about black fathers and we say they're deadbeat fathers, well, what does deadbeat father mean? Normally that's associated with money. Not always, but normally it's associated with money. Well, he's not given this, he's not given that. Well, does the child need that money, or does the child need the parent? And so if the parent is parenting but just happens not to be living in the home, does not that have value, especially to the juxtaposition that black male parents spend more time with their children than any other group?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it really is about the male, the man, the father, parenting, and he's spending more time with his child than any other demographic, then aren't the other people the actual deadbeats? But obviously, if you just equate that the value in dollars, then maybe I can see why deadbeat all too often is associated with money.
T 284 million. I'm sorry. I want to make sure I'm getting this right. $284,000 a month. I want y'all to hear that. $284,000 a month. Does that number ring a bell for anybody? I'm going to tell you. Kevin Costner's wife has requested $284,000 a month in child support. Now, Rodney, you tell me what damn child? Three children, okay? What child requires damn near $100,000 a month in child support? Damn near $100,000 a month in child support. Child support. That's damn near $1.2 million a year. Damn near $1.2 million a year in child support per child. You telling me you need damn near $4 million a year to raise three children? Man, where's Keisha at? Where's Sabrina at? Where Lisa now? You out your damn mind, lady. How is that even plausible? Look, don't talk to me. If you want to say something on the show, all you got to do is hit the number one, and we'll see you. And there you go. I want to understand. Hit the number one if you want to say something on the show, and we'll see you. I want to understand. Who the hell needs all this money in order to raise a child? You need damn near $1 million a year to raise a child? A child.
They don't need
$1 million
a
year to raise a child. Fuck out.
They don't need that, but we've kind of been driven there's a thing that there's been a situation in this shift in this country, and I think it started with Johnny Carson back in the day. I remember the old Eddie Murphy joke about half. And from, I want to say, Delirious, if I'm not mistaken. It could have been wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I think that we've kind of been going down this downward spiral of people just deserving this wealth because they were either married or have children by men, and it's a lifestyle that they say people should be able to they should uphold their lifestyle. And I say that, especially in this way that we say that everything is equal, if it's a lifestyle that you're looking to uphold, then you should find a way to monetize your access to things and uphold it that way. If you haven't learned how to network with the people that's around you while you're staying in these expensive homes and driving these expensive cars, and you expect someone to pay $1 million a year for child support, what child really needs that? And what kind of healthy mindset is that for a child? And here's the other side of it, brothers. This is the controversy part for me. If you need that money that bad, you shouldn't be the one filing for divorce. When you file for divorce, you typically say you go without. You are saying you're willing to go without. So if you're willing to go without, then leave. You shouldn't need that kind of money to go if that's what you really want to do.
I feel you there. I feel you. Rodney, you think that's appropriate? That kind of money?
No. I don't not for the children, right? Now, I'm not saying mm-hmm. that if you come from a certain standard of living
mm-hmm.
and you have, maybe the dad, don't know, but there's issues. And so those children now have to be removed from that environment. And because they're removed from that environment, now they have to suffer. I'm not saying
yeah,
that
that's
at all,
a lot of suffering.
But, right. But what I am saying, though, is money, if money is the ultimate arbiter of taking care of a child, then yes, that would be appropriate. But if money is not that main thing, then that's definitely apparently or appearing excessive. So if I have children and I'm in a relationship and for whatever reason I'm not contributing to that relationship and my spouse is abusing me and or my children and we need to get out of that environment because they're not changing, and then I'm out of that environment and now my children are on the streets, right? Well, that's a different thing. I do believe that's a different thing. But just arbitrarily saying that, hey, this is what you're going to pay for my children just because the lifestyle that they were living in the home, were they actually spending $1 million per child per year?
Thank you.
Or are they about to get an upgrade through the separation? So,
oh, they about to get an upgrade.
Yeah, there has to be some balance, I believe. I'm not against paying when it needs to be paid, but when money is that number one identifier of how well the person is being taken care of, I think as a society, that is a huge ding against us because money can provide you with something. And I would rather have the money and have a choice to get those things than not, personally, for sure. But if money is the number one thing as a society, I think Brother Barry mentioned the downhill spiral. That's a part of that downhill spiral.
Yeah. And I wanted to, Brother Rodney, while we got you here, I really wanted to commend you because I know it's coming up on an important anniversary for you in your military service. And just wanted to talk about it while we got about 23 minutes left. And, I know you served. It was a crucial part of your service. And, during the Persian Gulf War, we want to make sure that we salute you, brother. This is kind of what I was talking about yesterday. But you've done so much, not only inside of Vegas, but also abroad for our people. Let's talk about that, man. Let's talk about that, and let me salute you again for your military service, but also just your military and what you do. Let's talk about that, man.
Cobalt Towers, the anniversary is tomorrow. This is Cobalt was at the base actually was commanded by my former commander at Hayford, Pretty Terry. Terry got some pretty teeth. That's what we tell him all the time. And, this was one of the largest attacks on military personnel. But as a survivor of that, Rodney, that obviously you got your Purple Heart because you did what you were trained to do. But as always, bro, I definitely want to take a moment and give you your flowers because we are the 1%, and specifically we, we are the 1% of the 1%, and you are the 1% of the 1% of the 1%, because, you have that Purple Heart, so you're even in a smaller category than that. But, yeah, we would be not who we are if we did not honor you, not just for your service, but your bravery, your cool-headedness in a time of chaos, you taking action and being the leader that you are. Like Brother Barry said, not just here on the show, not just in Vegas as a generality, but your home and the things that you've done through Our Own Voices, the magazine, Our Own Voices Live, and branching out to when Brother Barry was doing his thing with Rant Radio and the continuance of what we're doing here, with Real Radio, Radio Established to Address Life, you know, has it gotten, I don't want to say it gotten any better, but I'll ask it a different way. In the era of Trump, DeSantis, Abbott, has it gotten any stranger when you walk around with your purple hat, purple heart hat on, or any other regalia that reminds people of what you've done? Has it humbled any folk that you've seen it, felt it, or otherwise?
So it's very disappointing to know that while people were sacrificing themselves for another people on behalf of our country's leadership and ultimately the American citizenry, that we have people now who have a total disregard for the sacrifices of those very people that you mentioned, and that will subvert a number of those people, military as well as intelligence community, because they work hand in hand, that they would subvert them and turn them into anti-Americans for their own selfish gratification. It is very, it's not just disappointing, but it is deeply wounding. It's almost like getting, It's worse than getting blown up from my perspective. And then to see how easily so many other Americans have fallen for their bovine defecation. It's very hurtful. I see and I know people who have never recovered from that. I know people who physically suffer and who emotionally still suffer from that and may do that until they no longer exist in this earthly plane. And yet you have insurrectionists here in this country using the levers of government to literally war against itself. To see the Republican Party, and yes, I'm sitting it right there, who was supposed to be for the military, to see the Republican Party say that they're going to take away intelligence and clearances for everyone that didn't support Cito Mussolini. That's beyond the pale to me. To see them, when our country is in need of those people who volunteered to protect and defend the Constitution of this country from enemies both foreign and domestic, to know that they held them back while our capital was under attack, something that really hasn't happened, I believe it was since like 1812 or something like that, to carry the scars, and I'm looking at the scars on my body right now as we speak, and to know that our country's leadership, the people who are in charge of our military, i.e. the commander-in-chief, and above the commander-in-chief is Congress, and to see them just totally dismiss the roles that they should play in leadership, as I see the valiant efforts of the Ukrainians fighting against people who invaded their country, to know that there are people who are born in this country who are acting as an invasion force right now to subvert our ideas of what should be and do it openly and publicly, to see the head of white supremacy become supreme in the ideology of so many Americans, which is antithetical to what America is supposed to be. Because, Lee, when we go to fight, we don't go fight for the America that we have. We fight for the idea of the America that we constantly strive to be.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That is, since the first black person died in the Revolutionary War. Yes, the first person that died was a black man. Since then, black people have always fought for the idea of what this country is supposed to be and have constantly pushed this country towards that idea, to see the things that are happening today and to know that people like me sacrificed so much. But it wasn't just those of us who were actually in harm's way, but it's the family members who had to take care of us. And when I say had to take care of us, that was because of their sense of love and their sense of duty, because we know that all families didn't rise to the occasion, but mine surely did. To know how many of those families lost their jobs because their loved ones need 24/7 care, and they had to lose their job. In many cases, they lost their house. I remember a time, I don't share this publicly, but because of some paperwork issues, I almost lost my house, sacrificing for my country. To know that there are people today who went through those sacrifices and who are destitute now, whose family members who became destitute for trying to take care of them, who are owed money for their service and their injury, and who have yet to be paid by our government. To see the American people not be educated on their military, and I did say their military, and you and I were a part of that military, and this is not to take from anyone else who didn't serve in uniform, because there's plenty of service to be done here at home, like teachers. Those are the true warriors at home.
Yes,
but,
Lord.
Lee, that does disturb me, and it bothers me deeply as we do approach that anniversary, to see our military being changed before our very eyes, our law enforcement that struggled ever since has been created to be made even worse than what it is. But the suffering of those people who shed blood for this, for another country, on behalf of our country via the American people, to see our country turning towards fascism and to see white supremacy gaining the upper hand, but then to see how our elected leaders, but of course we elected them, but to see how our elected leaders conduct themselves and how they have yet to take care of the debt owed that was promised by Lincoln to take care of the military if they would leave their homes, leave their families, that they would always be taken care of. To know that they're still not being properly taken care of and compensated today is like another wound on top of the wound. And yes, on a more personal note, time every year and even throughout the year, I often have to ask myself the question, is how close I came to no longer being here, but how, for whatever reason, I was spared, but others are no longer here. What is it that's left for me to do that I was spared? And yes, that does whatever values that the ancestors and my mother instilled, is what is it still left for me to contribute, for me to do? So when I'm out there doing whatever it is that you brothers spoke so positively of, and I appreciate that, it is a part of me is because I did survive. And because I survived, I must do more than what I have done and try to find out ways to use the gifts and talents that I've been imbued with by the ancestors and the Holy Creator to do something to improve the plight of my people as an African American, but also to benefit and propagate the idea of what this country is supposed to be about. That's usually where my head is. This time of year.
What do you say after that? But I got to hit on this. The insurrection going on in Russia right now. I never thought I would see the day. So two things we've been blown by. The continuance of the Ukrainians to fight against Russia, and they're making actual inroads in Russia right now. So never thought that would happen. And then Yevgeny Prigozhin. Yeah, I'm trying to pronounce the brother's name. If I slaughtered it, I apologize. But he's the mercenary chief for Wagner, and he has declared that he will fight back against Russia for the Russian army specifically for what they've done to his troops. So he has mounted an offensive in Russia right now and making it happen. This is crazy. Never thought that anybody would stand up to Putin like this, but that's an indicator of just how much power Putin is losing. Because if you're stepping up to this cat, you already know what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? But if you're willing to take that chance, there's some chinks in the armor that have not gotten out of Russia. Because, well, it's gotten out now because, you know, it's freaking national, international news. But before now, no one would have thought this. Would you have thought this, Rodney? Would you have thought somebody would have stood up to Putin like this?
Well, Lee, here's the thing. First of all, to answer your question, no. But here's the other piece of that. The Belarusians have broken off and are part of attacks within Russia and have called for fellow Belarusians to rise up against the Russian occupiers, because that's how they consider Russia, and to rise up. And so it's and they're threatening and calling for Belarusians to rise up against their dictator. So Putin initially was trying to reestablish the old Eastern Bloc nations into one Russia, and mm-hmm. his takeover of the Ukraine was supposed to be a catalyst to him, you know, advancing on other countries. But instead, he may have lit a fire that will not only bring him down, but take other people who were satellites of his tyranny, of his regime, causing uprisings in those countries. And really, this could be a sea change in geopolitical power. You know, we're talking about a change in the world because of his miscalculation of the Ukrainian fighting spirit, which used to be something associated with America. And hopefully this is a lesson to Americans that in the face of tyranny, your only response is to rebel against that tyranny, be it politically and or militarily. So maybe they're sending up smoke signals for us right here in America against the tyranny of the potential of fascism rising here. So my eyes are closely glued to what they're doing. And will this be sort of like their Arab, remember the Arab Spring and the summer? Is this their Russian summer? Is this what's actually happening in Russia and in that region right now?
Brother Barry?
Hey, I think it was heading there. I always say that when people sit and watch the abuse of power, there's always someone somewhere looking to say that they weren't part of the action. And I think that the Ukraine being able, of course, with the assistance of the United States, to hold their own, you know, was not a perfect time to hop on in and try your luck. And
right.
I told you guys this was going to happen, you know, when this all started. I said, well, hey, if it doesn't go the way that he wants, then you get tested more. When you lose, then people start looking at you as being weak or something like that. That was going to be a rally cry. So I think, you know, and here's the thing, man. I think the world is so interconnected that dictatorships are almost one of those things of the past. It's hard to be a dictator and then connected to the world at the same time because people see the other freedoms and people want to understand that. So I'm not shocked by what I'm reading because, you know, that's typically what happens in history. If he didn't finish the Ukrainians off to show that might And people say, wait a minute, hold on a second. They're still here. And they're still holding on strong. I mean, why are we in this? Because you know how it is. Those folks are saying that, hey, we fight better than the Ukraine.
Yeah.
Let us
we got better equipment. Right.
We got better equipment, right? Like, and we bout it, right? And we bout it. They know what kind of style it is that what we bring to the table. So this is one of those situations where I think it's gotten there. And Putin only has himself to blame. You know, he has some bad calculations. And this is going to be one for the ages. I'm definitely going to keep my eye on that. And hopefully, as the United States, we stay out of it and just watch it play out.
Well, they've done a good job so far.
Lee, real quick, could you imagine if 45 was still in office, how he held back the money that was already appointed to Ukraine? Imagine if he had stayed in office and they would have never gotten the aid that they had been promised by Congress and then the aid since then. Imagine how much different the war may have gone. Imagine that maybe it would have actually strengthened Putin's position in his country and in that region. How that decision could have really caused the Belarusians not to want to join in the uprising if there would have been an uprising in the first place, because there's no guarantee that that would have happened. The implications of that one person in our office really could have impacted what was going on over there and where we may be seeing a real and legitimate threat to Putin's power and the stability of his control of that country. That might not have happened had 45 stayed in office, or even if he was to get back in office.
He was too much in bed with Russia, man. He had to go. He sounded like, you know, this whole "Make America Great Again" conversation and the nostalgia. Well, when in their eyes, when America was great, they weren't in bed with Russia. So I just understood the lingo of him wanting to make it great again, and then, you know, but by the way, we're going to team up with the former Soviet Union.
Right. Well, we got 2 minutes left in the show. Final thoughts, Rodney?
The mercenaries have seized a southern city in Russia. They're on the move. They're calling for other people to join in. In America, we don't typically have violent revolutions. Our revolutions are at the voting boxes. So let's plan on that revolution to change this country in the direction that it should be. And let's start let's become candidates, preparing candidates, selecting candidates, and let's have our revolution at the ballot box come this election season. And thank you all for recognizing my sacrifice, but in doing so, the sacrifices of others who will be recognizing an anniversary that in some cases a memorial come tomorrow.
Brother Barry?
Hey, I just want to say that fathers still matter even the week after Father's Day. And don't be slow to show your father appreciation. I would say men in general. I feel like as men we have to show each other appreciation, but also the fathers, the men who are in court. It takes two, you know. It takes the seed and it takes the egg, you know, for you to be here. So we need to start showing more appreciation to men around the country.
Gotcha. Well, family, thank you for listening live. Thank you for listening later. Next week, we hope to have Sister Rashi back to balance us out a little bit, some estrogen in with all the testosterone, and we can figure it out. But until then, free Adam Schiff. Again, free Adam Schiff. Power to the people. We love you, and damn thing you can do about it. Peace.